going to go totally off topic.
Has anybody seen the newest Marvel movie, the Avengers movie? Yeah. Anybody else? No spoilers, okay? Bianca and I the other day were out and we were making up things about the movie as we walked through places to see if anybody gave us good dirty looks, like, this happened, you know, and I can't believe it. We didn't get any looks. That's not a good thing. Don't do that. That's bad. I like the Marvel Universe thing, the superheroes. It's weird. I don't know. But I like it. I like the movies. Not all of them, but a lot of them. You're always discussing, it makes for great conversation. Who is the strongest superhero? Like if the Hulk fought, you know, Iron Man, what happens? If Thor fought the Hulk, that was, you know. Anyway, who wins? And who's your favorite superhero? And that's just a conversation that continually happens if you're into superhero movies or superheroes or anything weird and geeky like that. Who is your favorite character? This comes up often. My wife's favorite, and one of the top for me, is Captain America. Why? I mean, if the Hulk fought Captain America, who's going to win? Probably the Hulk. Probably Thor. I mean, Captain America's pretty strong, but he's probably not the strongest, right? Everybody pretty much agree with that? He's pretty cool, but he can't fly. And if you watch him in some of the movies, they're trying to figure out, because everybody's flying, what he's supposed to be doing at the moment. And they give him some little task because he can't do that certain thing. He doesn't have those particular powers. And, you know, he's kind of people with guns, he fights people with guns, and guns matter. It's like if you're the Hulk or Thor, guns don't matter. This is a total side topic. But anyway, you got these superheroes. Why do we like Captain America? He's squeaky clean. That's right. He has honor. He does what's right because it's right to do. He sits there, and if you watch the first movie, you know he was a wimpy guy who wanted to enlist in the army during World War II, and he fought the bad guys, and he did all these certain things, and even though it was a huge sacrifice, he did what he believed was right. He tried to do what was right. He's honorable. He's a person who's a worthy superhero. You look at him and go, that's kind of, you want to look up to him. You can look up to him. Some of the other superheroes you look and go, they're not that great a guy. You know, they're not a great person. They're not someone I actually respect. You can respect a lot of the stuff he does. And it's neat. When he works in World War II, there's a point where he's doing different things, and he says, I need to go, and I need to fight the bad guys, and goes and fights the bad guys, and he continually makes decisions. And you're like, this guy will make the sacrifice to do what's right. We're Christians. And when people look at us, do they look at us and say, we're walking worthy of the title of Christian? And I know I'm trying to correlate, maybe it's a bad correlation. But when you look at Captain America, you think, that guy's worthy of the title of hero. When they look at us as Christians, what do they think? What do they see? We're going to look at this a little bit. In 2 Thessalonians, and I'm going to maybe bore you, but try to follow along. I'm going to read the entire chapter, the very long 12-verse chapter. So follow along with me, and we'll read it together. 2 Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought also to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. When he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who believed, because our testimony to you was believed. Two more verses. Pay attention. If you haven't paid attention yet, pay attention to these two, okay? Verse 11. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace you have given us. Thank you for your death on your cross, that shedding your blood for our sins. Thank you for the great salvation you've provided, and help us to walk worthy of the calling. Help us to live our lives for you. In your name, amen. Paul's prayer is in verse 11 and 12, the prayer he has for this church. It's interesting. We have a prayer list. If you saw the slides, if you're reading them, we have a prayer list. You can send an email, and your prayer request is put on the prayer list. And if you're on that chain, that email chain, you get a document each week that gives a lot of things to pray for. If you read through that, what does the prayer list contain? People who are sick, usually someone who we're witnessing to, or someone who's struggling, who we want to accept the gospel, or there's somebody who's going through a tough time and we're praying for them. It's a lot of things like that. You can, almost every church anywhere, I could tell you what's on their prayer list. And it's good. Those are good things to pray for. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But there's usually something missing. Listen to these two verses. Okay? This is Paul's prayer for this church. Verse 11. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. How many times do we pray that God will make us worthy of his calling? That we will grow in faith. That we will do his good work. That's usually not the focus of our prayer life, right? Our focus is, this is happening, this bad is happening, that bad is happening. We're usually not asking God, help me in my life to live more for you. And every Christian, if I talk to every person here, if I bring them and say, hey, you know, do you desire to live a life as a Christian, growing and learning more about God and walking in faith and doing the work that he's provided and walking worthy of the calling? You'd all say probably, yeah, I desire that. But are we acting it? Are we praying for it? Are we pursuing it? It's almost like I am not much of a sports person. Believe it or not, you know, I don't play a lot of sports. I did. I used to play basketball in junior high. I was fairly bad. I was really bad. And our team was bad. But it's interesting. In ninth grade, actually, I played on a team that was good. We won. It was really fun. It was not basketball. It was volleyball. It's different. But when I was on that good team, it was interesting because you get on the team, you're all excited, and you want to be part of that team. You want to be worthy of the team. I had a good serve, and that's what I could do. I could serve really well in volleyball, believe it or not. And so the coach would send me in if he needed something consistent and fairly well done. And so I remember one game, we were coming to the end, it was against our rival, and I had to win the game, and the coach sent me in, "You're serving, you're going to take the game. You know, you gotta," and I did the serves, and if I had failed at that point, I would have been crushed, right? Anybody ever play on a sports team where you want to be worthy of being on that team? You want to be worthy of being sent in at the right time. You want to get up to those standards. As we live our Christian life, are we sitting there going, "Christ has saved me. He died on the cross for me. He sent his son. Jesus came to earth and he shed his blood on the cross for me, for my sins. And I want to live worthy of the salvation he's provided for me. I want to live worthy of the name Christian." What does Christian mean? It means a little Christ. The people in Acts, the Gentiles, people were watching the Christians, and they called them, they're looking at them saying, they're trying to act like Christ. They're acting like little Christ walking around, Christians. They're trying to act like Jesus. Are we worthy of that calling? 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says, "We exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." God has called us to his glory, his kingdom. We're part of his team. In a real way, we're already worthy. And I am not perfect at all. I do bad things a lot. We all do. We all know our failures. If you're realistically, if you look at yourself, you go, "Wow, I really mess up." But the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from my sin. And in God's eyes, when he looks at us, he sees Christ. And I am justified. I am declared righteous. Because it's not my good works that saves me at all. I can't make it. If it's my good works, I can't. I'm not good enough. It's Christ's death on the cross. And he looks at us and he says, "You're worthy based upon Christ's blood." Romans 8 says, "For those whom he foreknew and he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, and those whom he predestined he also called, and those he called he also justified, and those whom he justified he also glorified." We are like, we'll go back to the soldier illustration, we're like a soldier who's enlisted. We're part of the army. Once you enlist, you're a soldier. That's it. Now you need training, you're going to go to boot camp, you're going to go do all the stuff you're supposed to do, but once you sign the papers, you're in. We are in Christ's army. In God's army. We're part of his team. We're enlisted because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he's our Savior. But God is also working with us. It's called, in theological terms, progressive sanctification. God is wanting us to grow. God is wanting us to walk worthy of Him, grow in our faith. And we'll never get there until we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, no more sin. Sin's done with. Until we get to that point, we're still struggling. But God is helping us to grow and walk as we should walk and live more and more for Him. He is sanctifying us, helping us to walk closer to Him. We should be striving to be more like Him, to walk worthy of what He has already done for us. We're in boot camp. We're sitting there. We want to be good soldiers. We're running. We're sometimes suffering. We're hurting. We're that first day of practice where you're running sprints and you're about to die. But we want to be worthy of the calling. Philippians 3 says this, not that I have already obtained, this is Paul speaking, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfected, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. We press on. Our eyes are on Christ, and we're striving towards Him. Forgetting what's behind. Don't get stuck with what's behind. Keep your eyes on Christ and stress and focus upon Him. Pursuing Him, the prize. Fulfilling every resolve for good, every work of faith by His power, everything that is good, that God wants us to do, we want to fulfill. We want to strive for, we want to do. Why? Why do we want to do this? Because I want everybody to look at me and say, you're fantastic. Is that what we want? Captain America? Look at the Marvel superhero, which is probably a bad illustration, but if you're looking at him, do you think he was fighting in World War II because he wanted everybody to look at him and say, wow, that's a great guy? No, that's not a hero. That's someone who's stuck up. It's arrogant. We don't do what we do for our glory. If you're playing on a team, my 7th and 8th grade basketball team, I went through kindergarten through 8th grade with the same group of kids. So I knew them fairly well. We actually started basketball team in 5th grade, and I was on the team for 4 years. It was not a good team. Frank was fairly good. He had talent. Frank was in it for his glory. So he'd come, and sometimes he was on, and he's like, you're talking 7th and 8th grade, three-pointers, just, you know. He'd go, and he'd be doing things, dribbling behind his back, doing crazy things. Our team would not win. We'd lose badly. But every once in a while, he looked good. What does that do for the team? Nothing. He is in it for his glory. If you're sitting there with a soldier in a foxhole who wants all the glory, that's not the guy you want next to you. Why are we walking this way? Why are we striving to be more like Christ? Verse 12, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not me. It's by His grace and God's grace alone that we can glorify Him in our life. Our goal is to glorify God. And an amazing thing will happen. Eventually He's returning, and we'll be glorified in Him. Only in Christ. That's an amazing concept. We know that when He returns, we get to be with Him forever. Do our lives glorify God? Does what we do give Him glory? Are lives worthy of His calling? Is our prayer that we walk after Him worthy of the calling? Is that on our prayer list? Maybe our hidden prayer list, we pray at night. That was the introduction. We have 10 minutes left. How can we do this? How can we have this mindset? I think chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians is a good example. I think this church of Thessalonica, is a good example. And if you look through, we're going to just touch a couple verses really quick in 10 minutes. I want you to look at this, and I want you to see some things that maybe we can implement in our life to make sure we have this perspective and walk in this way. Verse 3, we are always to give thanks to God for you. This is Paul talking to this church. Brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Their faith is growing. Are we trusting more in God? Are we walking closer to Him and His Word? Do we believe Him? Are we making sure everything in our life is focused upon our faith and belief and walk with God? Their love for one another is increasing. There is a bond that Christians have together. They love each other. It should be increasing. It shouldn't be going down. It shouldn't be where they're fighting. It shouldn't be where Christians are going and they're looking at each other and they're thinking, this is my enemy. No, that's your fellow teammate. That's your fellow soldier. It's the movie is about the boot camp. You know, they mesh. It's all the Avengers movie. They mesh as a family, you know. They become one team. There's a love for each other. As Christians, that's what we should be seeing. Our relationship with God, our faith is growing, and our love for each other is growing. That should be the pattern of walking worthy. Imagine Paul saying this about me. I'd love Paul to say that about me. Say, hey, you know, I met Lee the other day, and his faith is growing, and his love for the fellow Christians is growing. That'd be amazing. Is this church, if someone was talking about this church, would they say that? Would they say, as opposed to Thessalonica here, you know, I'm so encouraged by the church of Spencerport Bible Church. This is a church whose faith is growing and love is abounding towards one another. Paul is boasting about them to other churches. Verse 4, therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecution and in the afflictions that you are enduring. Most of the time, when pastors get together, you don't hear them boasting about their churches. You know what you hear? Why are the people in my church doing what they're doing? Why did that person do that horrible thing? Why is that? Because as Christians, we have lost perspective. We're not trying to walk worthy of the calling. They had steadfastness and faith. Look at that next phrase. In the affliction they are enduring. Wait a second. Affliction? I don't like affliction. What's happening to them? This church is suffering. they're in trouble. They are not having a pleasant time in any way, shape, or form. Why? I thought only bad people suffer. It's not true at all. There is persecution in this world. There's bad things that happen. And when you stand up for what's right, when you try to do what's right, there's affliction that comes. It costs. You wouldn't expect Captain America to go and not fight the battles. And when he fought the battles, he got hurt. You wouldn't expect a soldier to go to war and just sit there at the sidelines. When you fight in the battle, in the war, you get hurt. They're not in a good situation, but they remain steadfast. They had faith. They endured. My response to pain is, God, get me out of this. Talked about this probably a couple months ago when I was doing Acts. How can I escape? That's what I'm asking. What should be our perspective? How can I grow? This is evidence, verse 5, this is the evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering. Your steadfastness, your perseverance shows God's righteous judgment, and that you are considered worthy of the kingdom of God. It's the perseverance of the saints. It's making the right decision no matter what the cost. And that is hard to do. And when it comes down to it, if there's no cost, it's not hard to make the right decision. If Dad always uses Dave, was sitting at the corner, you know, in his car and waiting for you. Dave, that's what you're waiting for people? You're driving by. It is not hard for me to slow down to 40 when I see Dave. Why? Because I don't want the ticket. Sometimes hard for me to slow down to 40 when I know I'm not going to get caught. Sometimes when we're sitting there and there's a decision that's right to make, but it's going to cost, it's hard to make that decision. It's hard to make the right decision. We need to do what is right, walk worthy of the calling. This suffering will not last. Romans 8:18, I like this. It says, "For I consider the suffering of this present time, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." There is a future hope, a glory to be revealed. Justice will come. Paul continues here in the rest of this section here. He talks about the justice. God's justice is coming. Verse 6, "Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. When he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who believed, because their testimony to you was believed." This is a glorious passage that Christ will return. And when he returns, justice will happen. There is hope in heaven. There is a hope when Christ returns, we'll be glorified in him and we'll be with his, and no more sin, no more suffering. It'll be done. But there's a scary part. Because there's some people who are rejecting God. The world has rejected God. They don't want to submit to him. They don't want to obey the gospel, the good news of Christ. And they will suffer eternally. When you're watching a movie and the bad guy's doing bad things, and you know at the end, the hero's going to make it right. You're waiting for that moment. Christ will come and set things right. justice will happen. For the people who are on Christ's team, that's hope. For the people who are not on God's team, that's scary. They need to have the good news. They need to get the good news of the gospel, and they need to accept that. Christ died for them. But we still live here. Christ has not returned yet. The Thessalonians, these people who are in this church, were confused. Paul wrote an earlier letter about Christ coming back, and they were like, well, has he come back, or is he coming back now, or what should we do? And some of them went so crazy, went, well, I guess he is coming. I quit my job. I'll sit in the corner. And they just weren't working, weren't doing anything. Like Jim read about working. They just, well, let's give it all up. He's probably coming back soon. Let's stop. Let's stop living. Let's just sit in the corner. Wait. That's not life. Paul later on in this whole book says, stop doing this. Go back and get your job. Go work. If you don't work, you don't eat. Got to work. You still live life, and life is hard. We suffer affliction, but we live for Christ. That is our focus in every decision we make. That should be our prayer. Our prayer to walk worthy of His calling so that we may fulfill every good work and every work of faith by His power, so that God's name will be glorified. I know a long time ago, Dan Brokaw wrote something about the Greatest Generation, World War II. If you remember that book, it was about the World War II generation who sacrificed so much to go to Europe and enlisted and did all these things. And if you read about World War II, I've been reading about World War I, and there's some of the things that went on were crazy, just how they had to sacrifice. I'm also reading James Herriot's book on the veterinary practices, and he was sitting there, and during World War II, he starts and he just kind of offhandly writes, yeah, we win, and we enlisted in the RAF, and you know, and he goes and is a soldier, and he does these things, and you're looking at the sacrifice they're making, and going, do I have that perspective? Could I make that sacrifice? Well, guess what? You're part of a team, an army. Are you worthy of the calling Christ had called you to? Are you Captain America? In the sense of being willing to sacrifice, being willing to give all what you think is right. Following God, doing what's right. We need to walk worthy of the gospel. When people look at us and say, you're a Christian, that needs to make sense and fit with how we're living. Do we wish Christ glorified in our lives, or are we walking worthy of His calling? I challenge you this week, look at your prayer life, and see if you're asking God to help you to walk in that way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the salvation you provided. Thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us, and that free gift we can have. And you take care of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to walk worthy of the calling. Help us to walk as we should, as Christians, living for you, keeping focused upon you in everything. Help us when times are tough to endure, to have faith, to keep our mind fixed upon you and our lives fixed upon you in everything. Bless us this week. Strengthen us in times of trials. In your name, amen.